Today, the U.S. government keeps an eye on health and safety in the workplace. But that wasn't always the case. American workers can thank a little-known factory worker for sparking the changes that now protect them on the job. During the first two decades of the 20th century, an estimated 4,000 workers, most of them women, were hired by corporations in the U.S. and Canada to paint watch faces with radium. They used camel hair brushes to apply the glowing paint onto dial numbers. One of those workers was Grace Fryer. The newspapers called her Pretty Grace Fryer. She died young of a terrible cancer caused by that glow-in-the-dark paint. The radioactive radium it contained was known by scientists and plant managers to be a human health hazard, but Fryer's employers never warned her or her co-workers of that danger.
There was tremendous denial. In fact, the head of the U.S. Radium Corporation would never admit that radium actually was toxic or could kill people.
Ross Molnar is the author of Deadly Glow, the Radium Dial Worker Tragedy. He notes that after Marie Curie discovered radium in 1898, it was hailed as a miracle cure. Doctors applied ointments laced with radium to heal wounds. People swallowed spoonfuls of radium tonic, seeking to cure everything from baldness to stomach aches. But by the 1920s, radium's health risks, including anemia and bone cancer, were better known. Molnar says the last people to acknowledge its dangers were often the owners of radium dial factories.
At some point, they knew that it was killing the women, and they didn't want to ever admit it. It was just too profitable, is what it really amounted to.
In 1927, after contracting cancer, a small band of radium dial workers, led by Grace Fryer, sued factory owner U.S. Radium. They won, establishing a legal precedent for other U.S. workers with occupational-related diseases to sue their employers. Media coverage of the Radium Girls inspired the government to establish stronger safety regulations, culminating in 1970 with the passage of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, or OSHA. Today, OSHA regulates everything from underground mines to workplace chemicals. The New Jersey factory where Grace Fryer worked was not the only radium plant in the country, nor was she the only worker to file a lawsuit. In 1938, Catherine Wolfe Donahue took the company she worked for in Ottawa, Illinois, to court. She was so ill by then, she had to be carried into the courtroom. Like the Radium Girls, she won her case, but died shortly after the company agreed to pay her a few thousand dollars. The Ottawa factory has been torn down, but it left a legacy of radioactivity.
We didn't know nothing about hot spots in Ottawa. All we knew was the building was dangerous, because the girls worked in there got sick, and like I say, a lot of them died.
In the 1980s, Ottawa resident Ken Rickey used a Geiger counter to prove that debris from the factory, used as fill throughout the town, was still highly radioactive, and so was factory debris buried at a local landfill. These areas are now a Superfund cleanup site that qualifies for federal money. It's estimated the total cleanup will cost $100 million. Radium paint continued to be used until the 1960s, but workers were given protective gear and taught safety precautions. Today, the U.S. requires glow-in-the-dark products to be made of non-toxic materials. Workers' health and environment safety have higher priorities. But all that came too late for those first radium dial workers.
They were just girls. They made a penny and a half a dial, painting all day long.
Poet Eleanor Swanson teaches at Regis University in Denver. Her research into the life of Madame Curie and the radium dial tragedy inspired this poem called Radium Girls.
We sat at long tables side by side in a big dusty room where we laughed and carried on until they told us to pipe down and paint. The running joke was how we glowed, the handkerchiefs we sneezed into, lighting up our purses when we opened them at night. Our lips and nails painted for our boyfriends as a lark, simmering white as ash in a dark room. "Would you die for science?" the reporter asked us, Edna and me, the main ones in the papers. Science? We mixed up glue, water, and radium powder into a glowing greenish-white paint and painted watch dials with a little brush, one number after another, taking one dial after another all day long, from the racks sitting next to our chairs. After a few strokes, the brush lost its shape, and our bosses told us to point it with our lips. Was that science? I quit the watch factory to work in a bank and thought I'd gotten class, more money, a better life, until I lost a tooth in back and two in front and my jaw filled up with sores. We sued, Edna, Catherine, Quinta, Larice, and me. But when we got to court, not one of us could raise our arms to take the oath. My teeth were gone by then. Pretty Grace Fryer, they called me in the papers. All of us were dying. We heard the scientist in France, Marie Curie, could not believe the manner in which we worked and how we tasted that pretty paint 100 times a day. Now even our crumbling bones will glow forever in the black earth.
The story of the Radium Dial tragedy has also been told in the novel and short story and on stage, TV, and film. And on National Workers' Memorial Day in April, the town of Ottawa plans to unveil a bronze statue on the site of the former Radium Dial and Luminous Processes plant to honor the suffering and sacrifice of the factory's workers. For VOA News, I'm Shelley Schlender.